so serious.
All the toys, all the time.
I am the game, and still getting trying to play you.
You know the rules. This isn't a toy.
But we bought it at the toy store.
We did, but the way I'm using it makes it an adult thing.
Are you ready to play the game?
Yeah! Welcome to the toy department with Matt Kolsky and Derek Madden.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, we are back. It's another toy department. I'm Derek Madden. He's Matt Kolsky. How are you today, sir?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
This week is going by really fast. You ever just like hit the middle of the week and you realize that there's a lot more you got to do before the end of the week?
Yeah, I mean most weeks. Yeah.
Most weeks. Okay, so then I've hit on usually, some sort of universal truth, is what you're saying.
I think you have. The difference is like, you know, some people have that feeling, and I'm thinking of you here because they have like really a lot of crap to do. And some people have that feeling, and now I'm thinking of me because they're lazy and it's just like everything feels long in my life.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
There's things worse than everything being long in your life.
Hey-o.
Boo!
That's what she said.
All right. So, speaking of which, I feel bad because I was busy, and you asked me to check out this Chance the Rapper record last night.
Damn right I did.
It would have been nice if maybe give me a little bit more heads up than the night before we were going to do the pod.
Oh, now he needs more than 18 hours of warning.
Just saying. But I did not get a chance to listen to said record.
Didn't get a chance?
I did not get a chance. I'm
didn't get a chance to listen to.
Oh, I see what you did there. Oh.
I can't believe you didn't get it the first time.
I thought you were breaking my balls because when we discussed it, I was less than enthused about the idea of listening to the Chance record.
Yeah, that's true. You were, but you explained to me that you were only unenthused about the required listening methods and not about the music itself.
Yeah, I mean the music, whatever.
Whoa. Let's not talk about it till you listen to the music, so you don't whatever a perfectly great album.
Yeah, no, I'm not whatevering the album. I'm whatevering my sense of anticipation for the album that I have not heard yet.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a thing that's happening right now across genres and artists and stuff where, you know, we talked about this previously, where, like, making a launch event is such a thing, and I think kind of going with that is sort of trading on the exclusivity, you know, of what platform your new record is going to premiere and appear on. So,
I think the Chance thing is a little more than that. He seems, for whatever reason, determined not to sell his music. And I think this Apple Music thing may just have been a way for him to get his music a wide release, you know, and get paid, but not have people pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not necessarily – look, the motives behind it are different. I mean, obviously, Beyonce putting Lemonade on Tidal –
yeah, all the title releases are a little different.
Is a conscious business decision. By the way, to me the biggest notion in the whole like is Lemonade, the affair of Lemonade like a contrived thing would be, you know, goosing Tidal, right? Like, isn't that like the, you know, if you're going to follow the money, right? Like the idea that Beyonce can make this record that people would talk about their personal life, and then Jay-Z can make a response record, and then all these things appear on Tidal, which is a mutual business interest of theirs.
And then right? Jay-Z's in the video.
Yeah, like I mean, that's the most plausible scenario, isn't it? Like if you really were pissed off at somebody because they cheated on you, would you make some sort of business arrangement with them or put your record out in a way that would be where it would also be profitable for the person who was cheating? You wouldn't, right?
I mean, I wouldn't, but I behave differently than a lot of people who have been cheated on. So right. I don't want to presume.
You and I are not Queen Bey, of course.
We are far from it.
I feel like we should
neither,
just get
we're
that.
We're neither Queen nor Bey.
Right, out of the way.
Is it Bey or B? How do you pronounce that?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's Bey because doesn't it rhyme with Slay?
That's a great question. It's spelled Bay, and it would rhyme with sleigh, but at the same time, when you say Beyonce, you don't say Beyonce.
It's true, but don't you say, like, sleigh, Bay, sleigh? And then it's also, like, Bay, like, B-A-E, right?
Right, but it's Queen, but it could
and
be Queen
your,
B,
she's your Bay.
You know?
Yeah, I don't know.
These are deep, important questions we should try to answer.
Questions of our time. So, to try to corral myself back to the original thing that I was saying, is, you know, yes, you've got, you know, Beyonce and Kanye, you know, putting out these records on Tidal, and you've got Chance putting his album on Apple Music, and did Drake have some sort of deal with Apple Music? I know, like, the premiere for his thing was on Apple.
No, he premiered it on his own, like, Apple radio show or whatever, I think.
Yeah, now, you've got Radiohead largely bypassing Spotify, right? You can't get the new Radiohead album on Spotify. You can get the two songs that they released as singles prior to the record coming out. You can get those, but you can't get the rest of the album. And this seems to be happening more and more, and I don't totally understand it. I mean, I do understand it in that you're trying to pull leverage to make money. I don't necessarily understand the ethical stances behind it. And what I find puzzling most about it is this, is that, you know, if there's one thing we've sort of figured out about the internet as a medium, right, is that convenience and habit rule, right? Like those are the drivers. People do not like to go out of their way or sign up for new things unless they really feel like it's going to be worth it. Yeah?
Yeah, agreed.
I mean, that's why, like, you know, we make this podcast available on iTunes and Audio Boom and through that Stitcher. And there are all these different platforms, not because we think, oh, my God, we're so important, we need to be on all these platforms. It's because in order for people to hear us, yeah, we just want to make it as easy as possible, as convenient as possible.
Yep.
And so for a person like me who's paying for Spotify, who enjoys the Spotify experience, that's where I'm listening to music. And the end result of you not putting your record on Spotify is always me listening to your music less. Oh, that's always the end result.
I'm not a Spotify guy. I'm not a Spotify guy, if you will.
Right. Well, it doesn't
actually,
matter
wish,
what the
I
platform is.
That was upsetting. But...
I was trying to let it slide, man. I was trying to.
but my question to you would be: isn't Spotify like supposed to allow or like integrate your own music and your music files with the stuff it keeps for you on the internet?
It does sort of look at your iTunes, I think, to get your playlist, but I don't know that it actually keeps all of your files.
See, well, this is why I don't get down with Spotify.
I'm now actually going on to my Spotify to look at this as we speak.
Because, like,
oh, now there's a podcast section.
Ooh, are we
Spotify.
In there? Or what?
That is brand new.
Well, search for our stuff, man. Come on, team player, Derek.
All right, I'm doing that. Game of Thrones recap, all podcasts, blah 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 blah. No, I don't think we're on here yet. But you can get WTF with Mark Maron.
Still giving them your money.
I know, it's terrible. Spotify, we may need to have a talk. All right, I can't believe that I somehow got on a tangent while searching Spotify in this podcast. That is amazing.
I think that's appropriate. All I'm saying is, that's what upsets me. Not upsets me. That's what makes me uninterested in these sorts of services is like, I have some stuff that's mine and I have some stuff that I bought from, you know, small record labels that probably isn't available on Spotify. And I have some stuff from, you know, crappy and non-crappy bands that I was in my lifetime that I'm quite sure is not on Spotify. And
you'd be surprised,
like
by the way. You'd be surprised.
All right, well, do me a quick favor and could you search Speechwriters LLC on Spotify?
Okay. I'm doing that. Keep talking.
I don't want someone else curating.
Speechwriters LLC is available on Spotify. They have at least 4 albums that I can see from right here.
Interesting. I was in that band.
Oh, shut up. Well, there you go. You're on Spotify.
No, I'm not. I'm sure the albums that are on there are not any of the early garbage that I was on. But Look, all I'm saying is I guarantee, because I've tried in the past, and you know, it may be that their library has expanded, and this really is not a screed against Spotify. I just don't want my stuff in someone else's hands.
Yeah, and I don't think Spotify's doing that either. I've been looking for my stuff in my Spotify library and not really seeing it.
So. Right, but I mean, I don't want to rely on what's in their hands for my music. I like owning the music that I own. You know what I mean? And I don't mind if it costs me a little extra to buy albums and have them meaningfully.
Yeah, but see, the thing is that I am the opposite of that. I love music. Obviously, I work in music. I have no interest in owning music anymore. I'm completely content to rent it. It'd be different if,
and I think you're in the majority for the record.
Right,
I mean, that's the vast majority.
Yeah, and I think it would be different. You know, like when I was collecting vinyl. Like, I was into that, and I liked collecting vinyl, but there's a real...
I do a little of that, too.
There's a real tactile experience that goes along with that and, like, hunting through record stores. And that's what I found is that, you know, when I broke up with my girlfriend and she got the record player...
Oh!
This is years ago now.
Not cool, though. How come she gets the record player? You're the music guy.
No. She was equally a music person. It was probably the right thing. All right.
You're nice even as an ex-boyfriend. I got it.
Well... I won't get into the, but yeah, that one was on me. That's all I'll say. That one was on me. So the least I could have done was give her the record player.
I want to get into that off the air.
All right. By the way, she does still have my deluxe vinyl version of In Rainbows, and it makes me sad. We're still friends, and I see it every now and again, and I'm like, oh, I miss you. But
that's heartbreaking.
What I found was that, yeah, once I stopped collecting vinyl, then the record store once again became useless for me because there is no tactile joy in running around and holding a compact disc, right?
No,
it's
that's
all just
true.
Crap that I have to put in giant heavy boxes when I move.
Yeah, so, no, and but to me there is something to the experience of purchasing, downloading, and having an album, and. You know, this is obviously not something I run into all the time, but in playing it without the internet, I may be living a weird, petty 1990s life here, but I don't like depending on an internet connection to be able to listen to what I want to listen to. Like, all that sort of stuff, it makes me feel weird and uncomfortable.
Ah, but you don't need an internet connection if you're paying for the... service. Now we've totally gone down the rabbit hole of like the
little
idiocies
of
services.
How could you do it without an internet connection?
You can save music offline.
Yeah, but then you have to specifically save like whatever that is offline. Like I just
yes,
not...
which is like literally one push of your thumb to do.
I don't like it.
It's in fact it's a swipe now. You can save a record with a swipe to save.
I'm
offline.
Not saying I'm living in a world of pure logic when I make these decisions.
I won't do a commercial for them, but my particular wireless carrier doesn't even charge me data for streaming music. So I don't need to be connected to the internet. And I, you know, even if I'm not like wired to the internet, I can listen to it over a phone signal for nothing. And then even if I'm on a plane or something like that, where they're, you know, there is no internet access or phone access, I can still listen offline. So I'm not wedded to anything. Or I'm not tied down by anything.
You kind of are, philosophically, if not literally.
I guess. But here's my larger point, is that it's a convenience issue that, you know, we're now with music in an attention economy, right? In fact, we're in all media. It's an attention economy, right? It's not...
Yeah, I mean, even news.
Right, yeah. You are... essentially fighting for people's time and attention. That is the scarce resource, right? So when you make it harder for people to find you and hear your music, then you're making it harder for people to enjoy your stuff and go online. Radiohead is, you know, as we've discussed numerous times, is my favorite band in the world. I love the new record. I currently have it on my phone as MP3s that are in my Dropbox app, which is a giant pain in the ass to listen to music on. But that's currently how I have it. That's how it exists for me on my phone. and it blows. I just want to have it on Spotify where I have all my music, and I listen to Burn the Witch and Daydreaming 10 times as much as I listen to the rest of the record, because those are the songs on Spotify, and that's where I'm listening to music.
I would argue that it's a failure by Spotify not to allow you to put your own music files into their app.
Yeah, and maybe they do that, and I don't know it. But I'm guessing that that's probably a rights issue if there's an issue there.
Okay, well, putting that part aside, I think your point is kind of interesting in that why would Radiohead want to make it annoying for you to listen to their album? And I agree with that. And I'm not sure if they have specific philosophical differences with Spotify.
They do.
What?
They do. But again, I can get every Radiohead album on Spotify except for the new one and In Rainbows.
Well, I'm guessing that's because they didn't have control over
And
the
I can
other
get
Radiohead
two
albums.
Of the songs from the new album on Spotify, but not the rest of it. You know what I mean?
But
like,
again,
so it's not like they're completely abstaining. They're just sort of abstaining.
It makes me feel like they had less of a choice with the stuff that's on there.
I don't know that that's true, though, because like the King of Limbs is on there, and they clearly had artistic control when that record came out. You know what I mean? The King of Limbs, and there's a King of Limbs remix album on there.
Yeah, well, again, I don't know what their philosophical differences are, but I do think as you sort of prove a test case for, this is not really an issue for Radiohead or for Chance, for that matter.
Because I'm going to listen to these, I'm going to listen to every one of these records that I've mentioned that's not on Spotify, some of which I like. We talked about how much I like Lemonade, but I need very specific conditions now to hear the copies of Lemonade that I have. So
I understand that, but here's my point. You have them. You purchased them or acquired them, whatever method, and you are listening to them. And you're annoyed at the method you have to do it by, but
and I'm listening to them less.
Because it's Radiohead, you are listening. Now, if it was a band where that barrier became a barrier where you just didn't listen, then it would be a problem for the band.
Well, but that's what's going to, I'm, absent you prodding me to do it, I'm not listening to that Chance the Rapper record. I'm not.
Right. Well, that
I still don't really
so
know how I'm going to do it now. I'm going to go to freaking YouTube to do it. You know what I mean? This was crystallized for me none of it's that hard. Yes, you can if you're willing to go and figure out a way. But that's what I'm saying, I guess, is most people are not even willing to make that effort. I'll go back to kind of my general work here.
Can I take this a slightly different direction quickly?
All right. I just want to make this one point, and then I'll cede the floor. I was working with a station, and we used to do one of these discover and download programs where, you'd have a song of the week and you'd highlight it that week and you'd make it available as a free download. So every time the station played the song, before and after it, there would be a, hey, here's our new, this is the song of the week. Do you like it? Go download it at our website, right? And what we would find is that every week there would be an explosion in digital track sales of that track, paid downloads for that track, right? Because the song would be getting more exposure. And often the amount of growth would be in the sales of the track would be bigger than the number of free downloads we gave out. So more people would decide to pay for the track that we were giving away for free. And that's because they would rather spend a dollar to click on the one click thing that they're used to clicking than going somewhere they're not used to going. Or maybe sometimes you have to type in an email address or something to get the download or doing that. They just rather pay a dollar and move on. And that's kind of where people are at effort-wise. Oh, you have a 15-second ad I have to watch? I'm good. Oh, I have to click on this extra thing? One click. It's too much, right? It's too much for me to donate my attention. And I don't understand why bands want to get in the middle of that. Just allow your music to be heard. You'll get paid on the back end when you do the show. All right. Floor is yours.
Okay. I don't necessarily have an argument against that, and I completely forget what my diversion was. So, yeah.
Sorry. I wanted to get that out because I
no, it's
like
fine.
I mean,
you're
important.
Not wrong. It's something that think of it like I've been a paranoid lunatic ranting and raving. I mean, I haven't been, but imagine that I've been a paranoid lunatic ranting and raving about how Spotify wants to mess up my music experience and Apple Music wants to steal my tracks and replace them with other tracks. And then, you know, those things start happening. And so my response is kind of like, yeah, well, you know, this is what happens. You know, so while everything you're saying is right, I don't totally...
Look, my point is...
It's not surprising to me, and I'm not...
Like, the,
I don't know what
to say. Particular service that I use, you know, is not important. Like, you know, yes, maybe, you know, I'm not talking about like, oh, well, you people are excluding Spotify, so you're wrong. You know, it'd be the same for Apple Music. My point is you have to be everywhere where people are. You know what I mean?
I understand what you're saying. I just – that what's happening here, the unavailability of the new Radiohead album and the Beyonce album, the, you know, difficulty of acquiring Chance is why I have avoided paying for those services, is because I've been paranoid that these sorts of things would start to happen. And so the fact that they are happening to me is like, yeah, I mean, that's
– right. Wasn't that bad for everybody? Like – the best thing that could happen for the music industry as an industry, right, is to get everybody on the same place where we can once again distribute things to everybody, right? Isn't that would be the best thing in terms of more people listening to music and hear and being able to hear good music, right? So something that discourages that in the end, I feel like is sort of harmful for everybody, not to mention harmful for the individuals doing it.
Yeah, but if they want to take that small and somewhat useless stand, I don't really.
Of course, it's their right. I'm not saying they can't do it, but what I'm saying is,
well, I just don't think it's a major detriment to Radiohead. You know what I'm saying? Like, Radiohead is going to sell out every single place they play, no matter how big it is. And
right. So what's left for them? Like, isn't it ultimately, don't they want people to hear the music and be relevant? Like,
or
isn't
maybe
that what's
they
left?
Want to say F you to Spotify to the extent that they easily can. I don't know what they want to do. But my point is, like, if we're talking about what's good for the band and what they ought to do for their own health and financial worth, like, I'm not sure keeping 8 tracks off Spotify has a big
effect. Yeah, well, look, clearly the stature of the bands that we're talking about, with the possible exception of Chance, like, yeah, none of this is life or death because they're
and Chance is so big right now, like, yeah. and in the realm that he exists in, this album is such a big deal that people are going to go to YouTube to listen to it. And I mean, matter of fact, let me pull up Chance Coloring Book YouTube. The YouTube that says Chance the Rapper Coloring Book full mixtape has 45,000 views. Here's Chance the Rapper full album 105,000 views. Those so are... like when you add up all the different online versions of Chance the Rapper's new album, he's probably getting the same, you know what I mean?
I don't know, man. I mean, you need 100 million views, you know, if you're talking on YouTube to be equivalent of to, you know, look up 21 Pilots Stressed Out. Just look up the video for that. See,
yeah, but Chance the Rapper is not. Chance the Rapper is not 21 Pilots.
Yeah, but if we're talking about Drake and Beyonce and things that are contemporary. And listen to, fine, look up a track from Lemonade. See how many views that has.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. But my point is that Chance is not, like, people aren't, not that many people would listen on Spotify if it was there.
What, I thought you just said he was a big deal.
I said in the realm that he exists in, this album is a big deal that, like, the people who – my point is it had buzz and expectation. And the
right. Well, that's what I'm saying.
But the people who were interested are aware and probably found it.
Well, but not by those numbers they didn't.
Well, but I was just pulling up random YouTubes to illustrate
the
biggest, fact that hundreds of thousands of people –
What's the biggest Chance song to date?
I don't know. It's a good question.
We're deep down the rabbit hole of Chance the Rabbit right now, so I'm gonna
I'll
back away from it.
Song to date is.
But those numbers sound like less people are listening to it than would be if this record was just easily available to people. And by the way, I fully understand if you're listening to this and you want to write me that yes, I own these MP3s and I could get them on my phone and in my iTunes or whatever and just listen that way. It's probably possible, but that's a pain in my ass. It's a pain in my ass. You know what I mean? And I just want to listen to it where I keep all my music. That's what I want, you know? So I probably will figure out a way to get those records off my Dropbox and onto my iTunes. But I'll probably still listen to them less because that's not the button I'm used to hitting for music. And that is the way most people operate.
I don't disagree with that. I just think people make different decisions for things they care about.
Yeah, but I don't know, less than you think, I think.
All right.
All right, let's switch gears. Should we talk some sports?
Sure.
By the way, Chance the Rapper is your homework this week, especially me, apparently. Go to YouTube.
I worked ahead, you know.
Subscribe to Apple Music. Do what you got to do.
I mean, just YouTube it. It's very easy to YouTube.
You know, the thing is like, this record already has strike one against it now because I'm just annoyed. I haven't even heard it yet.
Yeah, well, like, YouTube is right. YouTube, you know that little, like, YouTube-looking picture right next to the Spotify picture on your phone?
Yeah.
You press that and type in coloring book, and it's your, boom, you're listening to Chance the Rapper.
It's like, I got to flip to, like, a whole, like, I got to scroll left and right to get there. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Well, that's your problem for not grouping your entertainment applications together.
That's probably true. I clearly need a better organizing system.
I mean, if you want me to come over there and organize your phone pages for you, look, I'll do it for a price.
Okay. I would like you to fly to Minnesota and do that for me.
I have great organization.
It pays five bucks.
Flight's on you, but I have great organizational phone skills. I've got my music apps all grouped together. I've got my podcast with some other live streaming apps. I've got, like, my social apps grouped. You know, I think I could do wonders.
Now, when you say grouped, I can't believe we're talking about this, but when you say grouped, do you have them in like, those little folders?
Yes.
Yeah, see, like, I'm totally anti-folders. I want nothing to do with folders.
Because you're afraid of what we're uncovering here is just how lazy Derek Madden's fingers are.
Yes.
Because you're unwilling to double tap to open
Correct.
A folder and then an application.
Somehow I have a couple things that have accidentally got, like, my clock and my calculator in a folder or something like that, and I hate it.
You haven't used them in like 5 years?
No, I do, but A, it's an extra click every freaking time, and I use my clock settings a lot. And B, it's like, then you have to, like, look and go, okay, it's in this little tiny thing. Like, just give me the big icon that I can freaking see and put my thumb on. Folders are dumb.
That's why you group them, so that you know
Now,
what's in each folder.
What I want is someone to just put all the icons next to each other in the way that probably needs to be done. And I understand that I could take the time and do that, but I don't want to.
So, I wonder if there are, like, phone shui consultants who would really be able to get you the optimal organization.
I think we may have just found a million dollar idea. Phone shui. I love it. I'm gonna start a consultancy. Maybe we could build an app that does that.
Trademark it, you know?
Oh, I like it. All right. Side business.
I could use one of those.
Should we do some quick hits from the world of sports?
Yes. Quick hits. I like it. Nice transition.
Speaking of hits.
Woo!
There was a big old baseball fight. I mean, look, as baseball fights go, pretty awesome, right? A, there's a lot. Like, you got a couple months worth of backstory. Those are always the best baseball fights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been brewing.
Yeah, and then B, just an all-time punch, right?
I think the all-time baseball punch. I mean, when you think of huge, famous baseball brawl moments, two jump to my mind. I'm wondering if you can guess them.
Well, you're going to say, are you including this one?
No, before this one. Okay,
so the first one is clearly Robin Ventura and Nolan Ryan.
Correct. Which is great and involves some punching, but mostly it's kind of a noogie, which is hilarious and amazing, but it's not a direct punch like this one.
The other things that I'm thinking of are not really punches. So I don't know if that's it. So
that's kind of my point. What's the second one, though, that I'm thinking of? I bet you can guess it.
I think you're either thinking of the Roger Clemens, Mike Piazza bat throwing thing.
No, that's not a fight. That's Roger Clemens being an unimaginable douche.
Or Pedro and Don Zimmer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Also, yeah, that was a little bit more of like
Zimmer.
A trip.
Those are the two things that jump out in my head. I do think there's – and then I just also thought of the Juan Marichal.
Oh, no. Did I lose you? I did lose you for a second there. You know what's
– did you hear – I also thought of Juan Marichal just now. Yeah. I believe he attacked someone with a bat.
Yeah. But, you know, one of my favorite ones is – I don't even think it was a major league fight. It was like a Red Sox prospect who like straight – front kicked the catcher like behind him, like just did like a straight karate kick to the stomach. It was amazing.
All right, so all these things, great as they may have been, I don't think we've ever seen a clean right hook connect the way it did. And between the punch, between Jose Bautista, a little wobbly in the legs, but essentially taking a straight right hook to the jaw, direct hit, and you know, trying to go back for more, like that was thrilling on a level you don't really see outside of boxing.
I don't feel like people gave Bautista enough credit, because like he's like, yeah, take a little bit more than that to knock me down, and people are like, oh, you're just trying to save face, and I'm like, no, dude.
Like, take a little more than that
and kept on coming.
Help. I think someone grabbed Beltre, maybe grabbed him when I guess you could argue he might have been a little wobbly. But even if it just made his legs wobbly, the fact that he was ready for more after that shot, I do believe he deserves credit.
Yeah, you know, a guy from our morning show had a great line about you could see Bautista's reading grade drop a level when he took that shot. Which,
yeah, man,
is, you know,
like
in light of the concussions,
punch.
We probably shouldn't be making fun of, but is hilarious.
Yeah, it literally looked like a knockout. I mean, let me ask you this. Did you see the knockout that Canelo delivered to Amir Khan?
I did not. So, but it's very similar?
Okay. Well, yes, in a lot of ways. I mean, Khan sort of swung and missed, but Canelo basically hit him with a right across the face, and he, a professional boxer, stiffened and collapsed. Yeah. Like, that was a heck of a shot, and Jose Bautista's got a pretty good chin.
So, is that moment for you, is that the greatest, you know, look, and I'll put a disclaimer on this. Look, obviously people get seriously hurt in all of these fight things that we'll probably potentially talk about and, you know, whatever. But is that the greatest non-hockey
fight moment?
That's
not a
great
disclaimer for the record.
Yeah, look, we're not making light. We're not making light of head injuries and concussions, and it's sad.
No, it's the toy department. We have to talk about it in this way.
Yeah, okay. So, thank you. Is that the greatest one you've seen? Outside of hockey. Because I think hockey is its own category of things. You know,
right, because they have actual fights. Yeah. But for a sport where there's not fights, again, baseball, basketball, even football, they've got problems with the helmets and stuff. I can't ever remember seeing a non-boxer or hockey player connect with a right hand in that way.
Well, I'll give you the one, and this is almost the reason why I did the disclaimer, because it basically ruined the guy's life.
Oh, Rudy Tomjanovich?
Yeah. The Kermit Washington, yeah. Rudy Tomjanovich, like, you know.
But that was a sucker punch.
But yeah, it connected. What about the Malice at the Palace?
Did anyone get a punch in that clean? I don't think so. There were a lot of punches thrown wildly.
Pretty clean punches in that fight. And I think some fans got a couple.
Jermaine O'Neal got a fan at one point.
Yeah, I think that was in the mix. I don't know.
But
Rudy Kermit one for me is just...
You're right.
Because that guy got dropped.
That was a clean punch. But he came up behind him, right? I mean, Rudy never saw... Kermit Washington.
Yeah.
Batista walked right towards Odor, even kind of started to cock his fists, and Odor just cracked him across the jaw. It's just such a direct thing.
Yeah, well, you know, and you really, like, you should – it's a right hook. You know, that's the thing. The reason why, like, these almost all sports fights are terrible is because everyone is almost always throwing exclusively hooks. Like, no one ever jabs, yeah. Right? And there's really right. No reason in a situation where you think someone might punch you to get caught with a hook. Like, it just comes from too far, you know?
Yeah, except, like, if
to get
if
caught
you're...
flush, you know what I mean? You might
yeah,
get tagged.
No, you're right. You're right. I don't think Batista would make a very good boxer. Though he might have a very good chin, he does not appear to have great defensive skills.
No, that's correct.
But there's still something to the fact that I'm not sure, even going into a baseball fight, knowing you're about to have a baseball fight, I'm not sure anyone's totally expecting a hard right hook like that.
Yeah. I don't know. You ought to be expecting a hook because that's what gets thrown if a punch is going to get thrown. It's going to come wild from the outside.
Well, but wild is the key term there, and Odor's was pretty deadly accurate.
Yeah, as a hook goes, it was pretty solid. I'll say that. But he did wind up. You know what I mean? It came from low. So.
Yeah, yeah. And but Batista was kind of winding up at the same time. Yeah. Odor just beat him to it. I mean, breaking it down as a boxing fight is a little tricky.
You've seen this like the Zapruder film, you know. Clearly. All right. let's switch gears. Are you worried about the Warriors at all? That's the only NBA playoff discussion at this point, right?
I think so, because boy, I'll tell you this about the quickly on the Eastern Conference series is I was at work during the first three quarters of the game, and at one point in the second quarter it was like a 4 or 5 point game in the 30s, and I like had to do a segment for Giants pregame, and I walked out of the studio 5 or 10 minutes later, and it was like 66-44. The Cavs are just playing great right now, and I mean, it's hard to know how great because of the competition, but I think it's pretty clear they are ticketed for the finals.
Well, and we're nearing the point.
There's not much opposition.
We're nearing the point where they're going to have an opportunity to do something historic. Right, because there's a decent chance that they're going to be 12-0 entering the finals.
There's very little chance that they'll be 16-0 after the finals, whoever they end up facing.
Most likely,
it's most likely.
But once you get to the finals at 12-0, then you start to go, well, there's that's a historic already, opportunity, right? So,
yeah, and that's already a hell of an accomplishment. Even if the competition isn't great, I mean, I was having this argument the other day. The Raptors aren't great, but they're better than the Blazers. You know what I mean? Like, it's not nothing. So, what the Cavs are doing is impressive.
Yeah.
Even if we knew they would be in the finals all along, the way they're doing it is impressive. And I do think they really are playing at a level that they have not previously played at.
I mean, you know, Kevin Love and Tyronn Lue have not lost a playoff game. Ever.
Right.
Crazy
when
you think about
saying
that.
Much.
And
of course, you mean just Tyronn Lue, the coach, because obviously Tyronn Lue, the player, lost a handful of players.
Yes, yes, yes. Tyronn Lue, the coach. Sorry. Tyronn Lue's record in the playoffs is pretty good, I think, as a player. But yeah, as a coach, he's undefeated.
Oh, I'm sure it's good. I'm just saying he's obviously lost. Tyronn Lue, by the way, I think we probably have to give a little bit of credit, right? Because even if he's not the tactical technician that David Blatt allegedly is, he's found a way to get Kevin Love involved and into it. And yep. David Blatt could never do that.
Yeah.
And then you might say that's you know, LeBron has changed his behavior under Lue or whatever. You can make excuses, but the proof's in the pudding. David Blatt could never get Kevin Love worked into the system and feeling himself, and Tyronn Lue has done that.
Yep. And now Kevin Love is 13-0 lifetime in the playoffs. That's not look, it's not a lot of games. I'm not anointing Kevin Love the greatest postseason player ever, but that's nothing
nine,
to sneeze
he's
at.
Nine, he's 9-0.
No, he had 4 wins last year with Cleveland.
Oh, that's right. Because he played in the first round last year.
Yeah,
okay,
so he's 13-0. I mean, that's something. So, All right, let's back over to the other series, though. Are you worried about the Warriors?
No, but the caveat is I wasn't worried about the Spurs.
Yes. Yeah. Well, of course. You weren't worried about the Spurs and but I, to me, the Warriors could take a punch. I'm not worried about them going down 1-0. And you don't
they
have
lost back-to-back games all year long.
And you don't, it's not like you don't have a sense like, oh, like you're not thinking, oh, they can't win in Oklahoma City. Right? Like there's none of that.
No.
You might have thought that Oklahoma City couldn't win in Golden State, and at the very least they disproved that, but
look, Oklahoma City right now is playing as well as they ever have with this group. I mean, they have, I think, finally found a way to compete at a higher level on defense. And I think there's a few things that factor into that. Some of it really is just effort. Not to say they weren't trying before, but Scott Skiles once said a thing about Tyrus Thomas that I always think about in these situations where he said, Tyrus thinks he's trying on defense, but he's not yet. He doesn't know what trying on defense means. And I think to some extent, the Thunder have figured out what it means to try on defense. To some extent, Russell Westbrook, who was a big problem for their defense, not because he's not talented defensively, but because he likes to freelance and gamble.
Yeah.
He has cut down on that somewhat in the same way that he has cut down on the madness and turnovers on the offensive end. And this has made the Thunder a more formidable opponent. I still think the Warriors are the better team, though.
Me too. And let's not forget, the Warriors were in control for a fair amount of that game.
Yeah, if not for some very uncharacteristic poor offensive play down the stretch of that game, I think the Warriors win, and the numbers support that. 108 is a beatable score when they're playing against the Thunder, and the performances of Durant and Westbrook from a shooting percentage standpoint suggest that the Warriors defensively did a pretty good job. So the issue really is, can you stop Steven Adams from scoring 16 points on 8 shots? And can you execute your own offense down the stretch? And I believe they can do both of those things.
This reminds me a little bit of the early going against Cleveland last year. Cleveland had made some lineup adjustments. Their bigs were causing problems. And it took the Warriors coaching staff a couple of games to adjust. And then once they did, you know, they were off and running. So,
and Cleveland's the easy example. Lots of people, including a major host on the Warriors flagship station, declared the Warriors done when they went down 2-1 to the Grizzlies last year.
Shots fired.
So, just
shots fired.
No, I mean, he knows who he is and he did that thing. So that's on him. The point is, this is not really uncharted territory for this team, and I'm not, you know, look, again, I think the Thunder are more dangerous than they were last year, obviously, and probably more dangerous than they were 4 weeks ago, but they're not more dangerous than the Warriors.
Right. Agreed. I mean, I'm not, you know, I don't think anyone's saying, oh, the Thunder can't win this series, because clearly they can.
No.
But
they can.
But I
don't
expect them
will.
To. Yeah, exactly. All right. I want to talk about one more thing because we got to get going. But I did want to talk about one more thing that we've sort of been talking about off the pod for a couple of weeks now.
We've been talking about it.
We have been talking about it, right?
You know, we talked about – that was it.
Oh, you were doing a Joe Buck there?
I was Phil Simms.
Oh, Phil Simms bit. Yeah, thank you. Sorry. Yeah, we talked about. We did talk about talking about Kelly Ripa, which I think is sort of surprised and abused you that I'm interested in this.
I just don't follow it. I'm not offended.
No, I'm not saying you're offended. I just think you get a chuckle out of it.
Amused. I thought you said abused,
yeah,
and I was
amused.
Confused about your choice of words and also why you said that.
Yeah, amused. I think you're amused by it. I do happen to think that Kelly Ripa is a national treasure. Like, I think she's fantastic and ideally suited for this thing that she does. You know, she has – I think she understands, you know, the – typical middle American housewife, which is what you need to do to be successful on that show, but also brings a level of humor and pathos and deviousness to it. You know, I love the fact that she is a person that goes that can go on Broad City. And if you have not seen her cameo on Broad City, it's by far my favorite episode of Broad City. It's amazing.
And by the way, the Kelly Ripa parts work completely without context. You could just watch the Kelly Ripa parts. They're amazing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a show you can kind of just watch one episode of and jump right in anyway. But that episode in particular.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't even have to first of all, you should be watching it anyway. It's a great show. But if you don't want to watch it, you literally could just watch that. Like, the Kelly Ripa scenes alone would stand on their own and also probably endear Kelly Ripa to you, unless you're a heartless ass.
Yeah, and I feel the same way about Kelly that Abby does, I think, at this point. I love that she, you know, is...
Whoa. I think given that, we better keep you away from Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, maybe, actually. She's, like, best friends with Howard Stern. Like, they're, like, super tight, which I think gives you a window into who Kelly Ripa is. But... on top of that is like the consummate host. And, you know, when you look at that show, like, she did the show with Regis forever, right? And Regis would literally show up, both of them, I think, from the way I understood it, would literally show up like 10 minutes before they went on the air. And they would just go out and do 15 minutes on the headlines of the day and kill. And I remember talking to Spencer Christian and Janelle Wang, who do it like a similar kind of like Regis and Kathy Lee show there in the Bay Area. At least they did. I don't know if that show's even still on ABC 7, right? And they talked about how
I can't think of anything but the song after you said Spencer Christian.
So they used to do a segment like that in the beginning, like an open like that. And they were like, yeah, we had to keep shrinking it down because we would lose viewers, you know, over the course of this thing. Like, ad-libbing is really hard. And yet those guys...
I don't want to insult your friend, but ad-libbing, it's a talent. But if you're a person with that talent, I don't know how hard it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it can be hard to hold viewers for a segment of that length off the cuff like that. And they were doing it on the daily. They're excellent interviewers. That show has been successful for 30 years or something like that now. I mean, Kelly Ripa's
don't
been
get
on
me
for
wrong.
A long time.
I think to be able to do that, you have to be good, and maybe more than being good, you have to have great chemistry.
Yeah.
And
the show was Regis, and Kelly Ripa showed up out of nowhere, and not only did they survive the loss of Regis, like, they didn't skip a beat, you know. So
I think she's a smart, talented lady. I don't think there's any question about it.
So, and that kind of brings us to the present situation, the drama of the present day, which is essentially that, you know, the latest, you know, the permanent co-host was Michael Strahan, who somehow has become a crazily valuable broadcast commodity.
But it's not somehow, because if you've seen him work, you know he's also very talented.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he's without talent. I'm just saying it's surprising. Right, I mean, obviously, look, Tiki Barber was the guy from that team that was tabbed to be the success, and somehow it wound up being...
If anyone who watched Tiki Barber and thought, "Oh yeah, I like that guy," is yeah, no, that if you are someone who deals in this business and you know, has any on any level ostensibly understands the sort of person that would succeed, you should have known Tiki Barber was a failure. He's uninteresting. He's vanilla, and he's actually not that good. This is probably a much bigger non-toy department conversation, but I honestly think that a lot of the excitement over Tiki Barber was nothing more than institutionalized racism.
You're just going, oh, he's so well-spoken. That's where you're going with that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Oh my, look at the non-threatening black man who can speak English really well.
All right, but
I think Michael Strahan was always the more interesting and engaging personality.
Yeah, well, and look, the fact that Strahan has contracts with Fox and ABC, and that both of those entities are okay with that, how often do you see that happen in modern media?
Yeah,
think of another example of that?
No, no question. That speaks to the incredible value. I mean, there probably is. It's probably like Phil Simms. I hate that I'm using him as an example because I think he's trash. But he's with it. Does his Showtime contract, is that the same as his CBS contract?
Yeah, those are both Viacom entities. It's the same owner. It's totally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't see people crossing over two media companies like this very often.
Yeah, there probably are other ones that are like maybe a little less public, but Michael Strahan is front and center on both of those networks. He's a huge part of the football broadcast on Fox, which I don't know for a fact, but I imagine it's among, if not the most valuable thing they have. And then he's on a daily morning show for ABC. No, it's pretty amazing. Yeah. It definitely speaks to what he's done.
That's crazy. So basically, ABC was, you know, they were using some guest spots from Strahan on Good Morning America and decided they wanted him full time. And
Now, can you explain to me, is Good Morning America before the Kelly Ripa show? How does that work?
Yeah, it is directly before. ABC owns both shows. Now,
got it.
You know, Good Morning America went ahead and lately it's, I guess, been struggling. Whereas, you know, Live with Kelly and Michael was doing great. And that was Kelly's point, was like, whoa, hey. You know, our show's doing great. You made this decision to pull this guy off the show without even talking to me. You'd already decided by the time you even let me know what was happening. I'm not cool with that. And then, you know, so she walked off the show for a few days.
Yeah, I think you're a more interesting person to talk about this because you are a programmer. So, I mean, you can speak to this, but if you had a morning show on your station that was struggling a bit and a, you know, mid-morning show, midday show, where they were really killing it, A, would you want to move someone from that midday show to the morning show? Because the morning show is sort of a more important property. And if you were to do that, would you feel compelled to, like, have a discussion with the other host ahead of time? Like, is this really out of line, what happened here?
A little bit, yeah. It is a little bit. I mean, without getting too into the nuts and bolts of the programming, radio is different from TV. Middays are more important now in radio than they once were. So a lot of it would depend on, you know, on the revenue you're generating from each show. That's going to be kind of the first place you start, because that's
right,
what's going to make
your
bosses happy. And then the second thing is, yeah, you are going to think like, okay, I need to be strong through the main part of the broadcast day. Right. So if I take mornings and it totally crushes middays, am I willing to make that trade? That's not an automatic. Like, you have to think about that. Right.
Okay. So, but what about this? What about this? Because this is how I see the programming decision is you're thinking Kelly Ripa. And yes, her chemistry with Michael Strahan and the quality of the show with that pairing is probably I'm not discrediting that totally, but I would imagine the thinking is something like Kelly Ripa is going to be good in this time slot, period, end of story. In order for us to gain overall value, we can add this other guy who really is very good, maybe better than we expected, to a different show where perhaps he can have a positive impact on a show that's not succeeding. And we feel that in all likelihood, whatever we do with Michael, Kelly will continue to succeed in the Kelly time slot.
Well, I'm sure they feel that way. And that's not wrong. You know, like that line of thinking isn't wrong. The question, right, I guess, is at what point is Kelly Ripa involved in this decision? Right? Because that's kind of where she's coming from, is like, hey, you're taking this guy, you're not even talking to me about it. You're not giving us enough time to find a suitable replacement before the fall season starts again, because that's a fairly long process, right? So,
yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, and I guess that's the question. And I'd almost throw it back to you as a, you know, a guy who's an on-air talent. Like, yes, the bosses have rights to make decisions.
Not,
they should be looking at the whole engine. But how much do they owe the show?
State the talent thing though,
because you can't just do it with anybody, and you can't just assume that whoever will be great with Kelly Ripa. Because we've seen it not happen. I mean, that's how Good Morning America got to where they are, right? You shove in some combinations of people, and all of a sudden they don't work. Same thing happened to The Today Show.
But
it's not like Matt Lauer is any less valuable a piece, you know what I mean, because all of a sudden stuff around him started falling apart, you know?
But maybe Matt Lauer is less valuable than Kelly Ripa. Again, without getting too deep into specifics, I have certainly seen radio personalities who who are considered to be the value of their show, sort of given co-hosts that vary and may seem random and may not have a whole ton of I'm trying not to get in trouble. The point is, like, people often depend on a singular talent and kind of just throw whatever along in with them. That's a thing that happens.
It does, but you just don't know chemistry until you try it. And bad chemistry can wreck a show with a good talent. It's like relationships, you know what I mean? Like, time, you like, the chemistry between two people is important, but the timing in their lives is important. And getting one of those things right and one of those things wrong can completely sink a relationship, you know?
But how often – but it, when you're in that, you always think you can figure it out. You always think, well, yeah, all that's true that you just said, but I can find someone who has really good chemistry. Like, this won't be a problem. And I think you feel like that even more when you feel like you have a great talent in that chair that, like, oh, well, maybe not anybody, but it shouldn't be too hard to find someone with good – who can have good chemistry with this incredibly talented host.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious to see if they'll figure it out with Kelly. And I would say that
– maybe it's hubris. Maybe it's hubris from how much success they had with Strahan, you know?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. And, you know, if – you know, if they bring in a third random person and they're great with Kelly, I mean, that's – you know, she's awesome. All right, so that's my homework this week, is check out the Broad City episode of with Kelly Ripa. Just do that. You'll thank me.
I think potentially your personal homework this week should be to try to cool it on Kelly Ripa just a little bit.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm just going to listen to Chance the Rapper on YouTube over and over again, and I'm pretty sure that whatever boner I have for Kelly Ripa will just quickly just right there.
Melt away.
Yes.
All right. I guess that's only a little weird, but I'll allow it.
Thank you. All right, got anything else for the people before we go?
No, I think that's it. I think we've successfully navigated the shallow waters we intended to.
No one works a puddle like this show.
We
will see you next week.
That was the alternative name. If it wasn't the toy department, it was going to be the puddle jumpers.
It's not too late. All right,
I think it is. Bye.
This game's in the Admiral refrigerator. The door is closed. The light's out. Butter's getting hard. The eggs are cooling. And the Jell-O is jiggling.
So long, everybody.
And do me a favor. Have yourself a tremendous evening.